Welcome to the Raised with Jesus podcast, 10 minutes of daily life where Jesus meets yours. You've got your daily Bible reading for June 6th, 2019, looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Brothers, I could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as people who are led by the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, because you were not yet ready. Why, even now, you are still not ready, because you are still people who are following the flesh. Indeed, insofar as jealousy, strife, and factions have a place among you, are you not people who are following the flesh? Are you not behaving in a merely human way, when one says, I belong to Paul, and another, I belong to Apollos? Are you not being merely human? What is Apollos, and what then is Paul? They are ministers, through whom you believed, and each served as the Lord gave him his role. I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. So then, neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but it is God who causes the growth. The one who plants and the one who waters are united, and each will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For God is the one whom we serve as co-workers, and you are God's field, God's building. In keeping with the grace of God given to me, as a wise master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building on it. But let each person be careful how he builds on it. In fact, no one can lay any other foundation than the one that has been laid, which is Jesus Christ. But if anyone is building on the foundation with gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, each person's work will become evident. The day will make it plain. Capital D, as in Judgment Day, will make it plain, because it is going to be revealed in fire, and the fire will test each person's work to show what sort of work it is. If what someone has built remains, he will receive a reward. If someone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but it will be like an escape through fire. Do you not know that you yourselves are God's temple, and that God's Spirit lives in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is holy, and that is what you are. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you thinks he is wise in this world, let him become a fool, so that he may become wise. To be sure, the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight, for it is written, He catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the reasoning of the wise, he knows that it is worthless. Therefore, let no one boast about men, for all things belong to you, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, or the world or life or death, or things present or things to come, all things belong to you, and you belong to Christ, and Christ belongs to God. This is the word of our God. You get the impression that these divisions in the church were at the verge of splitting the church up and making it disappear completely. And Paul loves these people, and he cares about them, and he doesn't want to see them shipwreck their spiritual, their faith, their spiritual reality, just over a squabble that evolved too far and too soon and too quickly. And so he kind of comes around again to the exact same theme from the first two chapters, talking about divisions in the church and how foolish it is to try and evaluate effectiveness from a worldly perspective. Because effectiveness cannot really be measured, especially according to our human power. No, the effectiveness of a ministry depends on God. And so that's what he really focuses on here, that you know, some would say, well, Apollos was, you know, the one who made everything happen. Or maybe, no, Paul was the one who made everything happen. And just think of, you know, when we had old Pastor Schrader, Pastor Schultz, and then the youth were really involved. And think of how successful we were, and we hit the budget and fill in the blank. You can definitely see how it happens. And Paul says, time out. He calls time out, and he says, time out here. You can't judge effectiveness from your human standpoint. First of all, you don't have the scope, you don't have the view to be able to see what God is doing now, what God has done in the past, what God will do and could do in the future. And so Paul's point is that God is hoping for a harvest of righteousness from these people, for the glory of his name. That's what God is working toward, and that each of us, especially these public ministers within God's church, whether Apollos or Peter or whoever else, or Paul, they just serve one function of the day-to-day operations of God's farm and God's field. Even Stephen Covey, the Mormon productivity guru who talked about the seven habits of highly effective people. And he also had a fairly decent book on leadership, kind of related to that. And, you know, it's one of those things that I read at one time, and usually if I get one good concept out of it, then it's a win and it's not a total waste of time. And that happened to be one that I brought along to the deer stand one year, and it kept me awake, at least. Anyway, even Stephen Covey made that point when he talked about leading an organization or serving in some capacity in some form of leadership. He's like, think of it like a farm. The farmer doesn't just sit around and twiddle his thumbs and then all of a sudden one day I'll walk out to his farm or to his field there in October and say, hey, time for the harvest. Where's all the corn? No. Every day he's out there doing something, whether it's fixing the tractor over the wintertime, plowing and disking and planting and fertilizing and pesticiding and herbiciding and whatever else that they do, because obviously I'm not a farmer. And until one day, after he's put in the regular time, regular hours, one day it's finally time for the harvest, and the harvest happens, and he drives his combine and harvests all the corn or whatever it happens to be, soybeans maybe. I think we've got a field of that alternates between the two across from church this year. I think we're up for corn if he ever gets it planted. Anyway, still not a farmer. And that's the point that God makes here, that each of us has a role to play, that each of us, instead of trying to sit back and judge effectiveness based on what we see and what we can measure and what we can discern by our own power, we are to simply be busy with what God has given us to do at whatever place we happen to be, with as many opportunities as we've got. We are to be busy with what God has given us to do because we are stewards of the mystery of his grace, which is committed to us in the words of Scripture. That is the mystery, and it cannot be perceived by human powers and human reason. And likewise, we cannot perceive the effectiveness of a ministry based on human powers and human reason. We can make good judgments about stewardship, and Paul gets to that a little bit later in this book. But Paul's point is that God is the one who builds his temple. And one day, at the end of time, God will make everything clear. The one building with gold, silver, and precious stones, when his work is tested by the fire at the last day, that work will stand. And the one who built simply with human principle and manipulative speech and emotion would hay or straw. You know, when it's tested by the fire at the end of time, it will be burned up. And even so, even during this life, there are times when testing kind of shows where our faith is founded. Sometimes very painful, sometimes very painfully, that is, that it demonstrates to us that I'm looking at Jesus, and even though I am very sad about my loved one being in heaven right now instead of right here with me, at the same time I can rejoice that our God has done tremendous things for them and for me, because that's the power of the mystery. And so when he kind of makes that point, and he circles around to where he really began this letter, back in chapter 1, verse 18, if anyone among you thinks that he is wise in this world, let him become a fool so that he may become wise. The wisdom of the world is foolishness in God's sight. And so our prayer today is that God would keep us fools, that God would keep us as children who are expecting only good things from God, who look to him and trust him in all things, even when and especially when our human powers of perception would militate against what God's word has said. Well, that's a mystery of God's grace. God has said it, and so it must stand true and must stand firm, even and especially when God's wisdom counteracts the supposed wisdom that my human senses are able to perceive and understand. So as you go about your day, think of how the foolishness of the gospel has given you life, that the Son of God gave his life for you to make you his own, and his word will stand true, and he'll return at the end of time for you. You can find us Sunday morning at 2250 South Holland Savannah Road in Maumee. You could also follow us on Facebook. Just search for Resurrection Maumee. God bless your day.